Welcome to Ukraine Calling, your weekly review of what's been happening in Ukraine with a focus on a main story. I'm Andriy Kulikov for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv, and here's a look at some of the stories that were in the news this week.
Your business community and civil society, only you together can battle this cancer and corruption.
Rusland is in toenemende mate een risico. Kijk wat op de Krim gebeurt, Oost-Oekraïne, de raketplaatsingen tussen Litouwen en Polen. Dan kun je niet als Nederland zomaar zeggen, we gaan die Europese eensgezindheid tegenover Rusland doorbreken, dan geef je een groot cadeau aan Poetin.
З Росії прибула чергова партія підкріплення для окупантів, зокрема на станцію Ясинувата.
I'm here to speak about Ukrainian filmmaker Oleg Sentsov. Got a sentence of 20 years of prison and now he is in Siberia. I want to ask you to stand for Oleg and his freedom. Now.
It can be hard to follow EU actions on Ukraine. Last week, European Council President Donald Tusk announced that the EU was in the final stretch of granting Ukraine and Georgia visa-free travel. This week, European Parliament postponed voting on the question until the 3rd of April 2017. And ahead of this week's one-day summit of 15th December, Ukraine was on the top five list of topics to watch, just behind Syria and ahead of migration. One issue was how to ratify the EU-Ukraine association agreement, since the Netherlands voted against this in April. Another key issue was the sanctions against Russia, which expire at the end of January 2017. This is particularly significant in view of US President Trump's announcement that ExxonMobil chief Rex Tillerson will be the next Secretary of State. The oil mogul reportedly has close ties with Russia. And as Politico reported, Trump can wipe out Russia's sanctions with stroke of pen. Some reports said the latest EU negotiations on Ukraine were filled with a lot of emotions and tensions. Others reported good progress and much goodwill around the table. There were early unconfirmed reports that Russia's sanctions have been extended for another 6 months. Next week, on December 19th, the EU-Ukraine Association Council will be meeting in Brussels. It will be co-chaired by Federica Mogherini, the EU's High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, and Ukraine's Prime Minister Volodymyr Groysman. They'll be talking about political dialogue and reform, justice, freedom and security, and economic cooperation. Over the past week, intensity of shelling against Ukraine in the Donbas varied. On Sunday, it intensified after reports of a new convoy of armaments arrived from Russia. That day, three Ukrainian soldiers were killed. Later in the week, things calmed down somewhat, and there were 2 days when no one was killed. However, civilians continued to suffer. On Thursday, one was killed and another wounded near Marinka. 9 Ukrainian soldiers were wounded this week, 3 killed. Ukraine's other battlefront is against corruption. Lithuania's president, Dalia Grybauskaitė, visited Ukraine this week. The Baltic state and its president are staunch supporters of Ukraine and its European vector. However, Grybauskaitė's official website described the visit as Ukraine stepping up efforts to free itself from aggression and corruption. Ukraine's fight against corruption has many international dimensions. Numerous opponents of Ukraine's current president Poroshenko have fled abroad. While Ukraine's prosecutor general's office charges them with corruption, some counteract by accusing Ukraine's current leadership of the same. A case that recently resurfaced in the news with flair is that of Oleksandr Onishenko. Ukraine Calling listeners may remember we reported on this in the summer. The former MP was stripped of his parliamentary immunity, but managed to flee the country before being arrested on embezzlement charges. He recently gave an interview in which he claims to have evidence of President Poroshenko's corruption, and that he has handed over these materials to the U.S. State Department. Onishenko would not disclose his location, saying he feared for his safety. Poroshenko dismissed the allegations. His office released a statement. To avoid punishment, Mr. Onishenko tries to politicize his criminal case and pretends to be a victim of political repressions. Kyiv Post newspaper reported that on December 10th, they received an email letter from the London law firm Atkins Thompson, claiming to represent Poroshenko and threatening to sue media organizations that publish Onishenko's allegations. A Dutch court ruled that Scythian gold treasures from Crimea must be returned to Ukraine. The decision came on the 14th of December. Ukraine Calling listeners might remember from last week's show that an international tug-of-war had erupted over the treasures. The exhibit went abroad just before Russia annexed Crimea. After a prolonged legal battle, the Amsterdam District Court decided in Ukraine's favor. It chose to follow UNESCO guidelines that artifacts should be returned to a sovereign state, and Crimea did not qualify. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko said that the decision means that not only is the Scythian gold Ukrainian, Crimea is also Ukrainian. Crimea is ours, period. That follows from the decision of the court in the European country. Imprisoned Ukrainian filmmaker Oleg Sentsov was honored at this year's European Film Awards ceremony. The Crimean director was arrested in May of 2014, charged with plotting terrorism, tried and sentenced by a Russian court. As European filmmakers gathered in Wrocław, Poland for this year's gala, a Russian punk rocker reminded them about Oleg. Pussy Riot's Maria Alyokhina took the stage and said, "I'm here to speak about the Ukrainian filmmaker Oleg Sentsov, who is your colleague. Oleg Sentsov got a sentence of 20 years in prison, and now he is in Siberia." When she said, "I want to ask you to stand for Oleg and his freedom," the room rose in applause. We'll post a link to her speech on our website. Many of you will recognize this Christmas carol known in English as Carol of the Bells. It was composed by a Ukrainian, Mykola Leontovich. He called it Shedrik, since it was based on traditional Ukrainian holiday tunes. The piece was first performed in Kyiv in 1916. Then the Bolshevik Revolution happened. Religious music fell out of favor, and in 1921, Leontovich was killed by the CK, Lenin's secret police. In 1936, an American of Ukrainian descent, Peter Wilkowski, produced English-language lyrics for the tune and copyrighted them, and he rearranged the melody for orchestra.
Global tensions are reaching epic proportions. Aleppo. U.S. intelligence reports that Russia interfered with their election. President-elect Trump announcing that oil executive Rex Tillerson will be the next U.S. State Secretary. Tillerson and his company ExxonMobil reportedly have close ties to Russia. Russia is at the center of many of these tensions. What does this all mean for Ukraine? Joining us to talk about this is Serhii Taran. He's a political expert, co-founder and director of the think tank Soczvemir. He specializes in international relations, mass communications, and regionalism. Mr. Taran, thank you very much for joining us. U.S. intelligence officials have reported that Russia likely interfered with the U.S. presidential election using the internet. Ukraine has been on the receiving end of this type of activity for years. What can the U.S. learn from Ukraine about information warfare coming from Russia?
The United States should not forget that the risk of the Cold War did not disappear. Russia tried to recreate the policies of the Soviet Union, and Russia tries to recreate the Soviet Union in the old boundaries, which means instability in the entire region. Basically, to pursue this goal, Russia tries to use the mechanism of so-called hybrid war, where informational part of this war is a very important element of the hybrid war, which basically very important in order to understand what is going on in the Russia and how Russia wants to position itself in the world community. So in the United States, there should be no place for illusion about Russia and about its intention. It means that we have to perceive Russian mass media not as an incarnation of freedom of speech, but as a part of the Russian propaganda. And that is very important because sometimes we see the situations when two states, one autocratic and another democratic, compete with each other in informational area. And democratic state perceive the media of autocratic state as a free media, as a media which express their own opinion. But there is no case like this because autocratic regime uses open media as a tool of propaganda. So no standards of freedom of speech should not be implied media in autocratic regime. And it is very important to understand now. And in Ukraine, it took some time to understand this because we didn't realize what hybrid war is about. Since the independence, we have a lot of Russian media in the Ukrainian informational space, and we believe it is just part of freedom of speech, but in effect is a tool of propaganda. And it is very important to understand this in the United States, where freedom of speech always was the integral part of the society.
President-elect Trump announced this week that he plans to appoint ExxonMobil chief Rex Tillerson as his Secretary of State. How will this likely affect U.S.-Ukraine relations? Sanctions? What are the other dimensions of this? Perhaps Europe?
I have a feeling that since the end of the Cold War, in the United States happened a kind of relaxation about the international politics. It seems that President-elected Trump changed or may change the priority of the national security after economy. Because it seems that we don't see any understanding of real danger for the international security in the world. If we are talking about appointment of director of ExxonMobil, Tillerson, as a Secretary of State, he may have a conflict of interest because obviously he was leading one of the biggest oil campaign in the world, and this campaign had contract with Russia. And of course, in Ukraine, we have a lot of worries about this because it seems that in order to secure economic interest, they may put in danger question of national security. And of course, it may affect the situation in Ukraine. And of course, in Ukraine, with great attention, follow what is going on in the United States. And I do hope that in the United States, people will understand that the international politics is not only about economy. I believe that if the United States will leave the question about human rights, about freedom of speech, they may lose part of their own identity. Because the United States was always about human rights, about freedom of speech, and about right for self-determination for nations. And if the United States will not follow this old tradition, it's not going to be the United States anymore. It's going to be the country which probably follow economic freedoms, but not political freedoms. At least in such way, we can perceive the appointment of Tillerson as a Secretary of State.
What has Ukraine learned about itself and its role in the world order over the past few years.
In the last years, in Ukraine, we realized that to be independent means not to rely on anybody in the world. Since independence, we believe that peace and security will happen if Ukraine will be a site of political processes. If Ukraine rely on people or on countries that guarantee its security, it will be enough to have security. And that is why we signed Budapest Memorandum. But now we see that all international memorandums, all international agreement don't work if you have strong army. So basically the first lesson that we can see is that Ukraine have to create strong army. We should not rely on the international agreements on their own. Of course, cooperation with other states are important, but only by cooperations we cannot secure our future. And I think it is the main lesson for Ukraine, as for now. Another lesson, which is very important, that actually now Ukraine doesn't have any alternative but to join Western type of institutions, of internal institutions. Since the independence, we had discussions which directions Ukraine should go. Either it should be the West or it should be the East. Should Russia be our big friend or should the European Union be our good friend? In the last years, we changed this discourse. And now we are absolutely sure that Ukraine should join European Union and West. The problem is that Ukraine has to do this on its own, without big help from a side. And I think it is very good lesson for us because it means we should not have any illusions about foreign assistance in security area. But at the same time, we have any alternative but to join Western type of democracy and to create reforms which enable at some day to join European Union. And I think it is a very important lesson in the last years.
A song for you this week is called Пішов козак на війноньку, which means a Cossack went to war, except the word war is in the diminutive. It is performed by Yaroslava Rudenko, who gives her own unique spin to folk songs. I played it on my music show Пора року last week. Enjoy!
Буйний вітер.
Christmas trees and decorations have appeared all over Kyiv. People are getting ready for the holidays. Next week, Ukraine Calling will look at how holiday traditions in Ukraine have changed and evolved over its 25 years of independence, and what holidays mean for a country at war. Tune in next week and write to us at ukrainecalling@hromadskyradio.org. I'm Andrei Kulikov for Hromadsky Radio in Kyiv. Thanks for listening.